This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
It's pretty commensurate with the other stars out there as far as his turnover rate. I just think that, A, we're emotionally invested in Steph, and B, he does do things sometimes in a little bit of a flashy way. And when you make a flashy turnover, it ticks you off more.
Yeah, and you're just in those situations more often. You're going to be on the wrong end of it sometimes. It's like a shot blocker defensively who isn't afraid of getting posterized. Like, I'd rather have a guy who's been on a poster by Anthony Edwards 10 different times than someone who's not and just allows Ant to easily glide to the rim and dunk, because at least you're trying to defend it.
100%.
You put yourself in the situation to either make a block or to get embarrassed. I'd rather have the guy that is willing to get embarrassed sometimes, because some of the other times you're going to make a play that saves you 2 points.
Grandy in for dibs, and we're hanging its flash, getting ready for Warrior basketball later. Also watching all the college hoops madness. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Very, very excited to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, multiple locations throughout the Bay. Thank you for that sound. That, for the first time, wasn't actually me. I've already had my sparkling water, but anyway, glad to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. All of us here at 95.7 The Game, so very excited about that. All right, we have now reached our Jonathan Kuminga portion of the program. What did you want to say about him today?
Jonathan Kuminga, I said this a little bit earlier in terms of, I think the Warriors have a ton of room to grow and to be better when the postseason comes around. And Kuminga just invariably is part of that, because he's the piece that is working his way back. And if he is able to slide into the role that the Warriors are asking him to fill, then I think they reach another level, because they don't have right now someone who they can bring off the bench and who can fill a dunker spot, who can slash, who can be a point of attack defender, who can get on the offensive glass, who can drive when the shot clock is running down, get to the rim, get to the free throw line, and give them an easy 12 or 14 points off the bench. That gives them something that they don't have. So if he can do that, and he's capable of doing it, the Warriors reach a different level in my mind, and then I start really, really taking seriously their chances of getting out of the West, or at the very least, making the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if they have enough offensive firepower when it gets, you know, to the clutch time in the playoffs, unless they get the best out of Jonathan Kuminga. But where I'm a little concerned, Willard,
yep,
is I'm not sure if Kuminga's going to feel like that's enough for him personally. And we might get to a point where he's pressing a little bit. I thought the moment in the second half, in the third quarter, here at Chase Center on Tuesday, when he's under the basket trying to get away from Gary Trent Jr., and you can tell he was kind of in a little bit of a funk, frustrated, which is natural. This shouldn't be easy. It's not easy. It's difficult to come back after 2 months off. And he throws Gary Trent Jr. to the ground and gets called for an offensive foul and a flagrant foul. That felt to me like a little bit of that frustration coming out. Like he's pressing just a little bit. And I'm a little concerned that he might get to a point leading up to the postseason or in the postseason where he feels like he's capable of doing more at the Warriors because of what this team is now. They don't need that more from him. They just need those 12 points off the bench every game.
I think it's a valid point, and it is part of what we were concerned about before he came back. I will tell you, I've been completely satisfied, impressed, comforted, whatever word you want to use, with regard to Jonathan Kuminga and the way he's gone about this return from a mental standpoint. I loved his comments after the first game back. I think that was against Sacramento, right?
Where he 18 points,
and he talked about the nerves involved of like not wanting to come in and mess things up. I was like, that's all I really need to hear. What I didn't want to hear or see is Jonathan going out there and really like looking for his because the contract is on his mind or whatever. And even though you may see that in moments, I think largely Jonathan's got his head screwed on straight. So here's what I'd love to see this fan base do going forward for this year. I don't know about next year, but for this year, here's what I'd love to see the fan base do with Jonathan Kuminga. Just root for him like you would any other role player. I think that the problem we're having is that the fan base can't seem to figure out if Kuminga's a role player or a key player. And that, to me, is the rub. It's not any longer really about this conversation of, do you think he's a future all-star? Do you think he's great? Do you think he's good? Do you think Steve Kerr's holding him down? I kind of want to push that to the side for the moment, because now that's not the goal anymore. The goal is this year, right now, win basketball games and make a playoff run. So I don't really care if he earns $25 or $30 million. I don't really care if someday he might be the one. Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are not just here now. They're both signed for at least two more years, which means there's no real room for anybody else, in my opinion, to be a 20 to 25 point per game kind of a guy. That ask is now gone. You acquired Jimmy Butler. So if Moses Moody or Quentin Post or even Buddy Hield goes out and has a bad game, we sort of shrug it off. You might be frustrated by Buddy, but we sort of shrug it off as like, yeah, you have some good nights and you have some bad nights. I'd like to put Jonathan Kuminga in that group. I know his ceiling is higher. This particular team is really not going to ask much more from him. Do your job in your 20 minutes and contribute to winning. That's it.
I hear you, and I agree with you 100%, but I think the rub here is... and this isn't just me talking about your opinion. It's any fan's opinion. It's any outside opinion. I don't really care about any outside opinion. I don't really care what you think Kuminga's best role. I care what Kuminga thinks he should be doing, how he should be contributing.
No, that's fair.
If Kuminga feels like I can help this team do more, and he feels like I got to go out there and score, even with everything that I'm sure Steve Kerr and the whole coaching staff, and I'm sure Steph and Jimmy and Dre are telling him, it's difficult for me to put myself in Kuminga's shoes, knowing I have a contract discussion coming up this offseason. I'm restricted. There's not a lot of teams out there who have cap space to make me an offer that I frankly would jump at signing. I'm running out of time to make that impression and to prove my worth. So I get a little concerned about how he views what his role should be, and if he thinks, you know, being a 12-point-per-game scorer in 20 minutes a night off the bench is enough for him to prove his worth. And the Warriors could say to him, and I'm sure they have, you fill this role, you will be paid handsomely. But the Warriors also have a vested interest in not paying him as much as they have
to. No doubt, and wanting him to stay and all of those things. Look, what you're talking about does happen in the NBA. It flat out does, and we don't need to look far for examples. I can remember, and this is my opinion, and I hate bringing it up because it gets everybody all ruffled and freaking out and hair on back of neck and all those things. But I can remember 3 years ago wondering how Jordan Poole was going to feel about coming off of the bench come contract time, because NBA players who are that dynamic offensively, they see themselves as ones, future ones. And a future one, that's where we stop talking about $20 million and we start talking about $60 million. And when that's a possibility, it scrambles your brains and you stop caring about winning. I'm not saying Jordan stopped caring about winning, but my point is, like, maybe a better example, I can remember once upon a time when Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter were teammates. And Tracy McGrady was about to be a free agent, and his mom literally went public and went, it's Tracy's time now. He ain't a two. It's time for Tracy to be a one. And that was the end of that. And he went to Orlando, and it turns out neither one of them ever won a damn thing. And maybe they could have if they would have stayed together and been like, what about co-ones? What if we work together on this? So what I'm looking for from Jonathan, and this is why I feel all the things I felt about the Poole situation. Draymond, not okay, all of that. But what you noticed was veterans consistently getting sort of frustrated by the way Jordan was behaving. Whether it was Klay Thompson poking fun at him overseas, whether it was throwing mouthpieces, throwing hands up, walking off the court. There was frustration there because I think they looked at Jordan as somebody who was butting his head up against a glass ceiling. I want to go higher. I don't see that from Jonathan. I actually see the opposite. I see the veterans almost trying to tell him what he can be someday. But I don't think Jonathan is doing that to this team. I don't think I know he wants to start, but behind the scenes, I think Jonathan has made a lot of good decisions. And what it comes down to is your focus on winning or is your focus on performing? And I do think his focus is on winning.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think where my fear or my hesitation comes isn't necessarily like anything to do with Kuminga himself. I think it's more so human nature to feel that way. Like, I try to put myself in that situation. You could put yourself in your situation at your job, whatever you do for a living, and you find yourself kind of naturally competing with your coworkers to prove your worth.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what everybody does.
Of course.
And it's kind of natural not to necessarily like think of a me first, putting myself above the team, but you like try to measure yourself against your colleagues and your coworkers, and you say, I'm going to prove that I'm more valuable than this guy, so when the conversation comes, you got to keep one, cut one, you got to pay one more than the other, I'm going to be the one that makes more. And I can totally feel that pressure on someone like Jonathan Kuminga. I think the other part of this, Willard, is I wouldn't be so fearful or wary of that feeling if I didn't have confidence that Kuminga has that, you know, potential star ability in him. Like, if it was Moses Moody who was due a contract this summer, like, it would still be a topic, but I don't view Moses as a potential all-star. Like, he's been really darn good, but the ceiling that Kuminga could potentially reach if he reaches his full potential, like, it's honestly, it's a compliment that maybe I'm doing a real, real oversell job here, but it's a compliment to Kuminga Kuminga that I am potentially concerned about how this season is going to go, because I believe, and I know that he believes, he's so capable of much more than what the Warriors are asking him to do.
I see that. I guess for me, I feel like the acquisition of Jimmy Butler has pushed that conversation down the road.
But for Kuminga's perspective, he doesn't have much more time before he has to come to a conclusion.
That's life, man.
It is.
That's life. I don't think, if he wants that job, it's not going to happen here anytime soon. And quite frankly, you know, that's a question for the offseason. Does somebody come in and try to break the bank with him, and he wants to go somewhere else and grow? I've heard plenty of people say Jonathan got drafted to the wrong spot for Jonathan.
He sees all his colleagues, fellow draftees from that year getting paid big bucks already.
Maybe he does feel that way, maybe he doesn't, but as a Warrior fan, all I want to know right now is, when you get sent out onto the court, are you making good decisions and do you want to win the basketball game? Rather than worry about what the box score is doing. And so far, I see the answers I hope for as a fan from Jonathan. But I get it. What do y'all think? You got any Jonathan Kuminga concerns now that we are 4 games into his return, getting ready for his 5th year in just a few hours? This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're here at Splash just outside Thrive City, Chase Center, Warriors and Raptors tonight, and all of the college hoops unfolding in front of our eyes. Glad you're with us. We'll take your calls next. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. You're listening to Willard and Diggs on 95.7 The Game.
Although today, a little Willard and Grandy. Dibs doing the dang thing. Possible that he might give us a call next hour for an update on sports books and give me an alcoholic beverage that starts with S.
I got nothing.
Sportsbooks and Midori Sours? That's something Dibs would probably drink.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. Sapporo? Sportsbooks and Sapporo? I don't know. But anyway, that's what he's combining in Vegas right now. Watching all the games, doing his thing. And in the meantime, texting us teams that he thinks are about to win. And so far, he's pretty meh as far as the picks are concerned. But we'll see how it's
going.
Plenty
of time to redeem himself.
Plenty of time.
Game after game.
Plenty of time to talk to you as well. And we got into a little Kuminga discussion there a little bit ago. And just sort of talking out whether or not you're feeling any sort of concerns with regard to his reintroduction. I think it was largely smooth until a couple nights ago when he had a wobbly game, and then everyone noticed he didn't finish. And Dibs asked Steve Kerr about that yesterday. Here's what Steve Kerr said about Jonathan not being in the finishing lineup.
I think if you look at our team right now, we have a lot of options to close games. I mean, the three guys who are going to be automatic are Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. They're going to be out there every game. The other two slots, look, BP was amazing last night. He deserved to be out there. Gary Payton, he has been playing incredible basketball the last couple weeks, and we needed him on Damian Lillard. So he was the obvious choice last night. Buddy Hield played big minutes down the stretch in that game. It could be Moses. Buddy and Moses we need for the shooting. Quentin Post played big minutes in the fourth quarter. If we want to space the floor with our five-man to create the spacing that Jimmy needs, then Quentin makes sense. And then J.K. fits in there as well. You know, the athleticism, the switching. If the matchups lead to that decision, then J.K. will be out there like he was against Denver down the stretch. So we've got a lot of options, but I can tell you right now that it's going to be somebody different each night depending on how the game's going.
So what'd you make of that? But also, before you answer what he said right there at the end, my reaction is, as a sports radio host, love it. Love it. Love it. Steve just told you he's going to do something different every night, which is going to freak the fan base out every single day after game.
Yeah, I think what Steve said, first of all, he's absolutely right. And all that matters is winning basketball games. So on any given night, Steve's going to assess what's happening on the floor, what's needed, and as a result, what five should be out there. And that's generally what happens during the course of any game and at any point of the game. But for the most part, these teams stick with a general rotation pattern that's been established. But you get to the fourth quarter and you say, all right, what do we need out there? Do we need shooting? Do we need defense? Do we need rebounding? Do we need someone who can drive and get to the free throw line? What do we need? And Steve said, essentially, last game they needed a little bit more shooting. So there was more Buddy Hield and some Quentin Post and less Jonathan Kuminga, who only played 3 minutes. This is a point made about Kuminga because it's our topic and it's what happened specifically on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it's the case for literally everybody on the roster not named Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond. If you're not playing well enough on a given night, say bye-bye to playing closing minutes. Like, if you're Pods, if you're Moody, if you're Post, if you're Kuminga, if you're Hield, if you're any one of those guys or any of the other guys deeper on the bench, if you're not playing well, you're not going to play. And I think what has changed for Kuminga is before he got hurt, he was on a team that could hardly win a basketball game.
Yep.
And he was one of their only avenues to winning a basketball game. It was Steph, go crazy, or Kuminga, score 28, and we'll have a chance. And by the way, even when Kuminga, this isn't a knock on Kuminga, it was just more about who the team was back then. When Kuminga was scoring 28, the Warriors were still losing those basketball games, for the most part. So that's what it was then. And the Warriors, with loss after loss after loss piling up, and Kuminga, one of the only bucket getters they could throw out there, you can play Kuminga 30 minutes almost no matter how he's playing, because who else are you going to turn to?
Right.
And what do you have to lose? You're a 500 basketball team that is on the edge of not even making the play-in. Like, what really are you risking here if you play Kuminga and if he struggles, which is going to happen at times? He's 22 years old. But now Kuminga comes back onto a team that has rocketed up the standings, where one win or one loss, which might come down to one possession,
means everything.
Might be the difference in you being the sixth seed and having a week off and playing in a postseason series, or being in a play-in and having to win a game or two just to go to the postseason. So you don't have the ability, or nor should you have the right, to say, I'm the seventh overall pick, and I have a contract coming due, I need to be playing through this. No, if you're not helping the team win, Steve Kerr will not hesitate to put you on the bench for a whole fourth quarter.
Listen, I love it in life, and I think it's actually rare when a meritocracy can come in and take over. I really do. As somebody who works in a performance-based industry, it's just what I think is comfortable. I think it's what's right. Like, whenever it's possible, it's not always possible. Politics come into play. But if the Warriors are going to use their closing lineup, similar to the way the PGA Tour hands out checks, great. You play well, you get a check.
Yeah.
You don't, you don't. Like, I want the same thing whenever possible in sports. I think it's the other stuff that makes us mad, and that's actually what people are worried about in the bigger picture with Jonathan Kuminga. People are worried about giving him $30 million and then having him play like a $15 million player. That's the concern. If you can do this as much as possible on a night-in and night-out basis, which is whoever's playing well and looking good and has a matchup that fits, that's who gets in there. I'm beyond comfortable with it.
The other half of it is, and this is where it becomes more difficult for Kuminga, and it's where, honestly, I feel for the dude, because he's in this unique situation and he's trying to figure out his best path forward. But if I'm Kuminga and I'm off 2 months of an injury where I haven't played and the ankle was severely injured more than we thought, and I think you could even see a little bit of hesitation for him on that ankle on Tuesday, like, he couldn't drive past anyone on that game. Like, he was getting sent away, and I think some of that is, you know, as he continued to get his sea legs back, that will come back. But if I'm Kuminga now and I struggle for the first 8 minutes of my night, I might not see the court again.
Maybe.
And like that, and that isn't because Steve Kerr doesn't believe that Kuminga doesn't have it in him. Of course he has it in him. But it's a situation where a player who might be a little bit rusty is trying to find his way as the regular season ticks down and as a contract decision is looming, when he's not going to be afforded the ability to play through anything. And like that's really hard for Kuminga to have to deal with.
Yes, that's the thing that, I mean, that's a scenario that hasn't developed yet, but if it does, that's where I think people are going to get frustrated, because that's sort of the key rub that's been going on for so long, which is, do you let the young players have their bumps and bruises and get better, or do you say, look, I'm sorry, we don't have time for that right now, we're trying to win? And by the way, you already know what that answer is going to be.
Of course,
playoff time. It's like, there's no time.
But it was happening before he got hurt.
No doubt.
Because they had no other option.
No doubt. Let's hear from you. 888-957-9570. Are you feeling any Jonathan Kuminga concerns? How about Dan on 101? What's up, Dan? Oh, we lost Dan. All right, 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on that. I go back to what Steve Kerr and many others have said about the pace of all of this, that they're going to bring him along slowly. And when I hear that, I don't just think that means, okay, like 15 minutes the first night, 18 minutes the second night, 20. No, it means there's going to be bumps and setbacks. Not huge ones. Doesn't mean he's going to re-injure himself. But there are going to be nights where things take a little bit of a step back, and then gradually you start to move it forward a little bit. That's, to me, that's what they were trying to tell us it was going to look like, and that's what it looks like.
Yeah, no, and like, Kuminga has a rough game like he did on Tuesday. Like, no one is going to deny that it wasn't rough. It was rough, similar to how Steph on Monday was rough. And we don't have to make every game and every moment a referendum on somebody's career, because it's not that. But we can also be honest with ourselves.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We can also say, like, that's going to happen. It's not easy trying to do what Kuminga is doing right now. But I firmly believe, Willard, that he has every ability in him to do what the Warriors are asking of him. It's not, I feel like when this conversation gets off the rails is when we talk about Kuminga and we talk about are there going to be any issues? And so many think that it's, oh, well, you know, Grandy doesn't think that Kuminga is capable of being that guy off the bench to score 14. No, of course I think he's capable of that. It's all these other factors and forces that are maybe making it a little bit more difficult for him to accept something like that, which is where my concern comes from. And we don't have to, again, make every mistake a referendum on the guy's career. It's what he's trying to do and what he's being asked to do is not an easy thing. And I think if we could take it from that perspective, it becomes easier to have a conversation after every single game about it, because this isn't Kuminga isn't a quality NBA player. This isn't that I don't think he can be an all-star at some point in the future. This is simply put, right now, in this game, in this second, in this moment, is he going to help the Warriors win a basketball game? And if the answer is no, Steve Kerr is going to have absolutely no issue being like, all right, JK, we'll try it again next time.
Well, you know what? This is fascinating, too, because in a couple of minutes here, want to unveil something that I think is actually the extension of the Jonathan Kuminga conversation. And we have it a lot. We know this. Jonathan ends up getting talked about one way or another a lot, which in this moment, I agree. We risk that we're talking about it almost too much. The Warriors are winning almost every night. Jonathan is not one of their lead dogs right now. But I get it, because Jonathan is representative of something bigger. He right now is the face of the future. I don't know if it's going to play out that way. I'm not saying he's going to be their one someday, but in this moment, he is the lead representative to that concept.
No doubt.
The Warriors' future.
Even without a contract beyond the next 2 months.
Absolutely. So Hoop Central put something out that we thought was pretty interesting. And it's a graphic that says, how does each fan base feel about your team's future? Okay? Mm. And here are the options for answers. You can say great. You can say good. You can say okay. You can say unsure. You can say bad. And you can say awful.
Is awful reserved for the Mavericks?
The Mavericks did get awful. So did the Pelicans. Let me see. So did the Bulls. So did the Sixers, and so did the Suns.
There should be a separate category just for the Mavericks.
You're right. Like double awful. Like vomit awful. But those are the teams that registered as awful.
Okay.
And again, I know I went through that quickly. There's a lot of answers. It's 6 different options.
Okay.
Awful, bad, unsure, okay, or good or great. Now, without telling you how the Warriors registered, we'd love to know which one you would pick.
Mm.
How do you feel about the Warriors' future? Great, good, okay, unsure, bad, or awful? We'll take your calls on that. We'll also let you know what a lot of the other teams around the league registered. We just told you the awful ones. 888-957-9570 if you'd like to weigh in on that. Jose in San Bruno is next up here. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs from Splash outside Chase Center getting ready for Warrior Basketball. What's up, Jose? Jose? It appears that Jose has gone mute.
Come on, Jose.
I'm right here.
Hello.
I'm right here.
Did you change your name in the last 2 minutes, man?
No, not at all. I was I'm here pumping gas.
Okay, before you start then, what's the price per gallon?
Price per gallon, $4.79.
$4.39.
I think you said 79.
Yeah, it's not.
No,
I mean,
$4.79.
$4.79?
Yeah, yikes.
That's too much. It's too much. I think you should drive away.
Sorry, can you say it again?
Now, go ahead, Jose. So let's move on. What do you want to say about Kuminga?
No, well, I just, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Kuminga is here for, like, or should be here for the long term because Curry's getting older. He's not getting any younger. Yes, he's coming off an injury right now, but just the way how the situation played out, I feel like it should be a gradual, you know, he should gradually be included and gradually get in, you know, fit into the system now that Jimmy Butler's here, because look how that played out. We almost didn't get Jimmy Butler. We were going to get Kevin Durant or trying to get Kevin Durant, but we got Jimmy Butler just by waiting that extra day, that extra night. And I think with Kuminga, we just have to take him in slowly so he can figure out where, you know, where to fit in. Because me being an avid, just, you know, not knowing, like, the basketball ins and outs like that, just from a third-person, you know, perspective and a diehard Warriors fan, it just feels like we should take our time with Kuminga in this new system.
Well, Jose, don't you think that's what they're doing?
Yeah, but it feels like they're trying to, you know, hang this man every night because he's not scoring 20 points, 25 points every night. Like, you know, he's here for the long term, and, you know, our team is changing, like, year in and year out, so I just feel like we got to take time with him.
Well, and Jose, I get it. When you say it feels like they're, you know, living and dying by every possession and every night, I don't think you're talking about the team. I think you're talking about the fan base. It sounds like you probably listen to 95.7 The Game a lot. So we totally get what you're saying there. I will say this. I don't think, and it's almost like the 49ers right now, I don't think that they go on the roller coaster ride that we do. Like, right now, and I truly believe this, like, the 49er front office, I think they're chilling. I think they're chilling. They're like, we have a plan. You just don't know what it is yet. You may not like it, but we have a reason for what we're doing, and we have a plan. And I think the Warriors feel the exact same way about Jonathan Kuminga. I think they like him. I think that they want to keep him and pay him and all of those things, but that also has to fit into their future and their present. And their present is to try to go win playoff basketball games.
Well, I get your comparison with the Niners. I think this offseason for the Niners is a very unique example, and we can talk a little bit more about that later or maybe tomorrow as well.
Tomorrow, let's get into that. I'd love to. I think the Niners are chilling.
Oh, okay.
I know we're not. I think they're chilling.
Possibly.
I hope they're not chilling.
I really do. They're chilling.
They're not chilling.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that. We can talk about that tomorrow. But as far as it relates to Kuminga, and again, Kuminga is just the poster child for all these conversations. It's the same for literally every single player. If Steve Kerr is approaching this from a, well, I'm trying to develop Kuminga, or I'm trying to develop Moody, or I'm trying to develop Trace Jackson Davis, or I want to make sure that they're happy so that when their contracts come up, they're willing to sign extensions to stay here, the Warrior, if that's the mindset that Steve Kerr and the Warriors organization have had, they wouldn't have four championships. Like, you want to do both, and it's not a two timeline thing, but you want to do everything in your power to win as many games as possible while also doing what's best for everyone individually. But if those two things ever come into conflict, maybe other than like extreme unique situations where you have like LeBron James as a rookie or Zion Williamson as a rookie, and then maybe someone's future like that takes precedence over something else. But in general, if the idea of trying to win or doing everything in your power to win versus trying to keep someone happy and maybe increase the odds of them being willing to stay with your organization, what's going to win out? For good organizations, it's always what's going to do the best to win a basketball game today.
Absolutely.
100% of the time.
Absolutely. And I think that the Warriors don't get that confused. And that's kind of what I mean by, I really do think that in the face of what feels like to us a lot of pressure, which is, think of all the things things that we could label as pressurized right now. The ticking clock of Steph's career, the addition of Jimmy Butler and his demeanor and Draymond's demeanor, Jonathan Kuminga's contract, and the growth of the young players, and playing time for Moses Moody. I mean, all the things that sort of are like angst-filled topics that we fans talk about. I think that you can see when a team is not on the same page. And here are the two examples I'll give you. Watch a Warrior game and watch a Suns game. And you will see the difference between a team who's got everybody on the same page versus a team that does not. And that doesn't mean that every game's going to be a win. It doesn't mean that everybody's thrilled and hunky-dory and happy with everything every night. It doesn't mean that. It just means they're on the same page. And they're all pushing for a common goal. And again, that's the only thing I'm looking for from Kuminga. If I were to feel at some point like he was doing or saying something that was not common goal related, then I would be concerned. I don't see that. I don't see it. I haven't felt that.
No. Yeah, I haven't felt that either. I think where the Jimmy Butler acquisition may also help the Warriors when they get into a situation where maybe they say, hey JK, come over here. Like, you know, today's not your day, for whatever reason, whether it's JK not playing up to his standards, and he's set a pretty high standard for himself, whether it's that or whether it's as Steve Kerr said earlier, it's a matchup thing, and this specific matchup doesn't fit Kuminga's skill set. Where Jimmy can help is Jimmy can pull Kuminga aside, and maybe this feeds into the alpha conversation that we're having, but this is less about an alpha convo and more about a veteran who is solely focused on winning, who can pull JK aside and say, hey, like buckle up, like we're gonna need you at some point. Like, you know, maybe tonight's not your night, but there's gonna be a night where you're gonna need to score 25 points for us. It's not gonna be tonight because for whatever reason, but as long as you stay ready, you're gonna have the opportunity to prove yourself. And where maybe it becomes dangerous is if you get to a point where Steve is obviously choosing winning versus making a young player happy, and in this example it's Kuminga, but what maybe hurts the future of the team, the soon future, the next week future, the postseason future of this team, is if that conversation ultimately hurts Kuminga on the court,
right
down the road.
Right.
But that's where someone like Jimmy Butler can have a conversation like that and say, all right, hey, JK, like, chin up. Like, we're not going to be able to win a postseason series without you. So just stay right. Tonight's not your night. Guess what? It's not my night every night either.
I mean, it's a dumb comp, but I love that you're saying this because I literally, you know, I sort of, after talking to Steve Kerr every week, I took this conversation to my daughter, who was a reserve soccer player on her high school team this year and was frustrated with playing time at the beginning of the year. And I just kept telling her, like, literally Steve was bouncing in my head. I'm like, what would Steve say to her right now?
Oh, well, like, it's just a math problem. Yeah, there's only so many minutes
I know.
To go
I'm
around.
Like, honey, like, I'm going to start calling you Moses Moody at the dinner table. No, I was like, honey, your time is coming. You have to keep pushing and trust that your time was coming.
Yeah.
And her time came and she won Most Improved Player at the end of the year.
There you
like,
go.
Like, I mean, you know what I mean? So you're not wrong. A lot of you want to weigh in on this. Mark, David, we see you. We're coming. So 888-957-9570. You can also weigh in on that idea. Warrior fan, how do you currently feel about the Warriors' future? Great, good, okay, unsure, bad, or awful? Which one would you pick? We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Grandy is in for dibs. We're live at Splash, Thrive City outside the Warrior game watching ball. It's Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Terry Stotts. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Masters. Do you have something against Terry Stotts?
No.
I didn't even know that was in there. You never play that.
I think I played a Jerry Stackhouse one before.
You did. You played a Stack.
Yeah. I think I played Terry Stotts before.
Does Terry think that Dibs picks stink?
I don't think he recorded one of those.
Oh,
I think he just did the generic, now back to Willard and Dibs.
So look, so far, I think Dibs picks stink.
Is he still 1-2?
1-2.
Bay Area, it's Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
That's right. Yeah. My guy Stack, who absolutely would not take the slander from Dibs, ripping North Carolina all week the way he did, telling everybody to take San Diego State plus the points, and then watching San Diego State get blown off the floor by no less than 30 points.
When does a Vandy play? Because Stackhouse, former head coach
right
of Vandy,
there.
Tomorrow, 12:15 against St. Mary's.
Against St. Mary's.
Apologize to Stack, but the most of the Bay Area is going to be against your former employer.
I love the Gales in that game. I actually have the Gales maybe winning two games.
Oh, they're going to beat Bama?
I got St. Mary's putting the fear of God
into
them Roll Tides.
Speaking of Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse, the two major changes Steve Kerr made to his coaching staff this past offseason leading into this year, the last time the Warriors majorly shook up their coaching staff, they won the championship.
Hey!
Before the 2021-22 season.
Okay.
Last time they did that.
Well, there you have it. Put all your money on the Warriors to win it all. All right, so we were talking about Jonathan Kuminga. We're talking about the future of the Warriors. The now is what matters. But in the conversation that we're all having, kind of thinking about his standing within the organization and others for that matter, Pods, Moody, whatnot, it's interesting to see this thing put together by Hoop Central about each team's future and how the fan base feels about it. And you had a few different options, from great to good to okay, to then unsure to bad to awful. How do you feel currently about the Warriors' future? So we can take some calls on that. We've been talking to Kuminga as well. We got a game coming up here in just about 2.5 hours. Let's go to Mark in San Jose. Mark, you're on with Willard and Grandy. It's three Marks at once, so go slow. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
What's up?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a point about Jonathan Kuminga. So, in my mind, you know, we've heard this word about the team lately, that we're a team of connectors lately, if you notice that. Everybody is a connector.
Yep.
And I just feel like Kuminga, he's got off-the-charts athleticism, but he's just not that connector that goes with the team. So, more often than not, he would find himself in a half-court isolated offense, and he's just not a good enough ball handler to always be that first or second scoring option. On any given night, with Pods there or Moody, he finds himself being like the third or fourth option. And I think he's just too impatient right now. He's not going to be patient enough to score 10 to 12 points tonight. I think he wants to be the second option right now. So maybe it's just not a good fit.
Interesting, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm not there yet. I don't see a lack of patience from Jonathan. I know there are times when it looks that way. If things aren't falling, he, like when he's driving, it looks like he's forcing it a little bit. But I think you have to take that circumstantially. Who else is on the court at the time? What's the situation in the game? There are times where they do want Jonathan to break down his defender and go to the hole and get fouled and get to the line. There are times where they're asking him to do that. Whether or not he does it well on a given night is a different sort of a thing. But, you know, this kind of goes to the philosophy that Steve Kerr has always had, which is you want to let guys be them, put them in their best position to succeed. And so I don't think, I don't know, man. It feels to me like a lot of people think that Jonathan is stressed and or selfish or somewhere in that realm. I don't see that at this time.
I could see the stress coming. I don't think it's born through selfishness, though. It's born through just the reality of what a situation is. But in terms of, like, connectors, I oftentimes think of, and Steve Kerr would probably, like, vehemently disagree with me on this, and I'm sure he's not listening right now. In fact, he's probably getting ready to talk to the media inside of Chase Center right now. But when I hear Steve Kerr say, oh, well, that guy's a connector, like, not that it's a negative connotation, but the way that I interpret it, Willard, is more like, well, he doesn't have an incredibly high ceiling. Like, he's kind of, his potential is kind of capped at a certain level, but he's a positive basketball player because he's in the right spots, and he's not a negative defender, and he'll pass when it's time to pass, and he'll shoot when it's time to shoot. Like, he makes solid decisions. Like, when I think of a connector, it's not an insult, but it's like, you're kind of only physically capable of doing so many things. The only way for you to be a positive player and for you to stay on the floor is to not make bad decisions. Kuminga, on the other hand, is so physically capable of doing so much else.
Right.
And by the way, he's still pretty new to the game of basketball. Like, I'm sure Trayce Jackson-Davis, who you would call, I don't know, kind of like a connector, Pajemski, who you would call a connector, who's been playing basketball his whole life. Like, that sort of thing comes from time. And there's also just some natural ability and the feeling and the sense that you have for playing basketball. But for someone like Kuminga, who has all of this raw, untapped potential athleticism and skill, those kinds of players aren't always the best at always making the right decision and feeling the defense and being in the right spot and cutting at the right time and defensively, right? Like, Buddy Hield loses his defender pretty often. The connectors tend to know where they're supposed to be on both sides of the floor. So it's not that a connector is a negative thing. It's that generally being good at that other stuff is the only way you can be on the floor. And Kuminga, that's never been the way that he's earned playing time. He's earned playing time by just his raw, incredible athleticism, because he can do things on the court that no one else can ever dream of doing.
I mean, I can see on our text line right now, 925 just texted in and says, I think it means they have a really high IQ. And I can get where that listener's coming from on that. Like, in other words, when you talk about connectors and all the players you just mentioned, first thought that goes to my mind is, well, what are they trying to connect? It's like, no one would ever call Steph Curry a connector, because no one's asking him to connect anything. He is at one end of what is being connected, right? Draymond Green, a connector? Yeah. Right?
He
Jimmy
connects.
Butler,
yeah.
Connector? Yeah, actually, I think so.
Yeah.
So if you're being asked to be a connector, in some ways, it by definition means you're not the lead dog, because that's the end of the connection.
Yeah.
And when Jonathan plays, he has characteristics of somebody who wants to be on the end of the rope, connected to, not someone who's going to connect someone else. It's why he called Guy Santos a connector.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm going to chase down a rebound, I'm going to grab it from someone else's hands, and then I'm going to hand it to Steph Curry and let him shoot.
I'm going to dive
connector.
On the floor yeah. eight different times over the course of a game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I think what our caller said, Mark, who made a really good point, it kind of brought up what my concern was with not Kuminga necessarily, but with the Warriors before the Jimmy Butler trade and before Kuminga got hurt. It was Kuminga's skill set isn't necessarily complementary to what the Warriors like to do on offense. And Kuminga, not necessarily freelancing, but Kuminga likes the ball in his hands, everyone else kind of get out of the way, I'm going to go one-on-one with my guy, I'm going to get past him with my athleticism, and I'm going to get to the line, or I'm going to dunk on you. And that's not always what the Warriors do. And now when the Warriors have more other bodies to make their offensive style work, Kuminga is kind of left not in the background, but in a situation where he has to find a way to fit in with the others versus the others finding a way to fit in with him.
888-957-9570, Warriors future, Jonathan Kuminga, college basketball everywhere, and getting ready for a Dubs game. Warriors Live is an hour away. Let's go to David in Hercules. Hey, David, thanks for the call. What are you doing?
I'm out here walking my little dog.
What's the dog's name?
Can you hear me?
Pepper.
Pepper?
Yeah. No. Spoiled. Much.
Okay. Hey. Okay. As long as he's got quickness.
Yeah. I believe the Warriors are going to be in good condition, good shape, because of their current ownership. And I also believe that J.K. will be okay if he trusts those who are the Warriors' hierarchy. Remember this guy nicknamed the Mississippi Missile, who, after they drafted this number seven guy, the Mississippi Missile said the Warriors will never be relevant again with that draft pick. History speaks for itself. I believe the Warriors will be okay. I believe J.K. will be okay if he trusts the organization. That's all I got to say.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.